Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here with our host, and I mean our panel, to continue with our discussion of the Word of God. Today is May 17th, 2022. And we're going to continue studying in the book of Hebrews. Last week we're looking at the fact that we're talking about how these Hebrews were called out of Judaism, out of the Jewish culture, and they are Christians called to follow the way of Christ. They chose to leave the religion and the tradition of Judaism and go into the direction of following Christ. They saw that Christ was better. They saw that he was more superior than the rituals and the ceremonial activities that they were going through, offering the lamb and going through what have you. Those were Christ in types and shadows, okay? And so after Christ had come and died and fulfilled what the Old Testament pointed to, they realized that he was greater. Christ was greater than Moses, not demeaning Moses, nor the angels, nor the Old Testament. But it was a type and shadow of things to come. He was a type and shadow of things to come in the Old Testament, okay? But the blood of bullocks and lambs could not take away sin. It only covered it temporary until Christ came, okay? So here we see that these Christians wholeheartedly followed Christ. Paul is talking to Christians. We don't even hear, they don't really give the name of the author, but you can tell from the writing that it's Paul. And the reason why he left off his name, because Christ is speaking. In chapter 1, we see that the Son speaks, whereas in the Old Testament law, Moses spoke. God spoke through Moses, okay? Mm-hmm. So when we see in Hebrews 1:1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. But notice he says, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, okay? All of that came to Christ during his incarnation. After he died and resurrected, he became heir, by whom also he made the world. So Christ is also creator, okay? So we see here that was Christ in his divinity as creator, but Christ had to put on flesh and become a man because his humanity, he had to relate to this race. See what I'm saying? Although he had on the body of flesh, he did not have sin, a sin nature. But he could relate to the creation because he came and put on the body of flesh. Okay? So he can identify with us. Mm-hmm. He became the sin offering. He became the peace offering, the whole burnt offering. So we can identify with Christ, and he can relate to us. So we see here that God now speaks through Christ. In Revelation, when we read it, who did we see speaking through the book of Revelation? It was Christ. It was an image or picture of Christ, who was with piercing eyes, he spoke to the church, and he left a warning to the church. In the book of Hebrews, we see the author is writing, it's God speaking, so he leaves his name off because he does not want to cast a shadow over Christ by saying, I, Paul, or I, whatever. So we see here God speaking through his Son in this book of Hebrews. Amen. Okay? And so we see that they became joint heirs with Christ. What Christ had to offer is much better than what the religious system of Judaism had to offer. Now, this came at a price. Following Christ comes at a price. Christ told us that when we say that we're followers of Christ and put on the name of Christ, that tribulation, in this world we're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, you're going to be as sheep in the midst of wolves. And most of the persecution, the same persecution that came against him, is we're gonna feel it. But we have to be growing and following the way of the cross on a daily basis because the Spirit of God is leading us into all truth. Okay? Christ, he said, what is truth? Thy word is truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word, as truth, put on flesh, and we beheld his glory. He says, sanctify them with thy truth, for thy word is truth. See that? Mm-hmm. So as we go down, and I'm just recapping in chapter 1, we see that Christ is superior over Moses and the prophets and the angels. We're not demeaning the angels because they have a role. I'm getting some feedback. The prophets had a role. The fathers had a role. Moses had a role. And remember, it was all pointing to Christ. Now, the angels, he says, Christ is more, he's more superior. So he's showing them the difference. If you leave Judaism and you come to Christ, and now you're contemplating going back, he's showing you what you're going back to. Where Christ is greater, you're going down. You're lowering yourself under ceremonial, traditional religious activity. And that's all he's saying. He's saying in Christ you have an inheritance. Whatever Christ gained, you gain. God made him King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he's given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, so if I'm in Christ, at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. If I'm in Christ and I'm growing, this is about bringing sons up to glory. It's not about whether you're saved or not. He's speaking to Christians because Paul includes himself, as we read last week. So we're going to continue with this. We see that Christ is superior than the angels, more superior. And so in chapter 2, we notice here that the Hebrews, and the word Hebrews mean river crosser, meaning that they have to cross over. You're going from an old way of thinking, old life. We all throughout our lives in the Bible, it's equivalent to kind of like baptism, where you're leaving the old and coming out to something new. So when crossing the river or crossing the sea was a picture of, Noah was delivered out of the flood. He was delivered by the flood in an ark. Christ is a type of the ark. So God, anytime there was judgment of the land or in the earth, he used water to judge it. In Genesis 1, 2, he judged the land with water. Okay, he flooded the land because of the fall of the angels. He had to bring judgment. In Genesis, I think it was chapter 6 with Noah, or chapter 10, we see that God brings judgment, but he spares Noah through the flood on an ark. He brings him to land, okay? So we said that God is about recovering. Satan always comes to corrupt everything that God creates and does that's good and right. Satan is always trying to corrupt it. And so all throughout when God created, Satan came in to bring chaos and corrupt. God had to bring judgment, the water. With Noah, he had to bring, with Noah, he brought it through the water. Then eventually we see that his judgment now becomes fire. See what I'm saying? He judged Nadab and Abihu. Fire came down and destroyed them, right? And so this is why we see river cross. It means change. You're going from one state to another. Newness of life. Eventually, things will remain old. If you stay, they left Egypt, went into the wilderness, and they traveled. They should have went over into Canaan, but they stayed in the land of the wilderness, 40 years? Things were old. It was time for them to cross over. They refused. And a refusal to cross over means you stay in a carnal state and you never experience the overcoming life that God has for us through Christ.
Amen.
So here they're river crossers. Here they had given their lives, crossed over out of Judaism and went into following Christ. But don't you know that we're not going to always stay in a certain state? God wants us to progressively change. So they were, when things started getting hard, what happened was the Sanhedrins, the Pharisees, and all of them started applying pressure. And they said, okay, if you're going to follow this Christ, you know, you're in our denomination, you're in our church, and you're not doing things according to the way we do things here. You either join or you leave. Things started getting hard, and they had to make a decision. And so the same people that persecuted and killed Christ, had Christ killed, were now persecuting his followers. And so this is why they were contemplating going back. Instead of going forward and crossing over, they were going backwards, being carnal. And this is where we were in Romans chapter 8. He said, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See what I'm saying? The Spirit is always going to lead us forward, and it will lead us into difficult places. The Spirit of God led Christ straight to a wilderness while he was hungry, hadn't eaten for 40 days, and went straight to a wilderness after he was baptized. And see what I'm saying? He crossed over the River Jordan. He was baptized and then went straight to a wilderness. The wilderness is never for you and I to remain there. It's a time of testing to see if we will serve God or no. That's what he told them in Deuteronomy 8. And they proved what was in their hearts. They did not serve God. They were there for their own lust. Okay? So here, when we say we're Christians, every day should be a change. Every day God is saying, you should be dependent upon me. You should be trusting in me more. You should be coming out of that slumber and that stupor and that state of whatever you're in and seeking after me, following after Christ. Christ went outside of the camp behind the veil. See what I'm saying? We need to go outside the camp. We're still trying to stay stuck in the religious mode of things, in our religious upbringing, the way and God is saying, no. You gotta cross it. The mind has to change, and you can't cross over unless your mind is willing to change. Abraham did not understand everything that God wanted him to do. God did not reveal the whole picture. He gave him instruction, you know, one set of instruction at a time. Abraham, leave Ur. Then he had to tell him specifically, leave your father's house, leave your kindred. Abraham didn't do it right away. What happened? Then Abraham lost his brother, his older brother. Maybe he had an influence in his life. Then that's the only thing that got Abraham to start moving. Then he lost his father, Terah, and eventually Abraham left Ur. What am I saying? God knows what it takes to get us to leave our Ur,
yeah.
To get us to cross over. So this persecution happened in this church, and most people probably like, well, I was brought up in that church. This is all I know. I'm a minister there. I'm a preacher there. I teach Sunday school. I sing on the choir. And God is saying he creates or allows the little division that rises up to see if you're going to cross over. Do you love what you're doing more than you love Christ working in you?
Wow.
And so they were contemplating going back because of the persecution that had arisen in their lives. And we do the same thing today. So we're going to start at chapter 2 of Hebrews. And just to recap, we'll start at verse 1, okay?
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
All right. So last week we said that they were letting the things of Christ slip. They were the salvation that Christ had afforded them, all that the cross had afforded, they were going to let that drift by them. And they were going to go back to what they came out of. Okay? So it says here, drift means to drift past them. They're going to just let what Christ did, all the things, all the wonderful things Christ had for them, drift right on past them just to go back to what they knew.
Wow.
Okay? And so this is the first warning. There are 5 warnings in the book of Hebrews. This is the first one. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, talking about the message of the cross, lest at any time we should let them slip. And so you got to be careful that you don't let them slip by or drift past you and I. that can seem non-important. Let's keep going.
For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward.
Okay. So now the activity of the angels, they were very active. Angels are very active. And we read that in Hebrews 1:14, how they're ministering angels. We saw how with Christ they were there in the wilderness when he was tempted. They came to minister to him. All throughout the Old Testament, they were the ones administering with Moses the law and what God demanded and what he required. So angels were there to administer what God desired. And it says here, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now, meaning that judgment came. There were consequences for wrong actions. So if you neglected what the angels revealed to Moses and to the people, and you said you want to do your own thing like Korah and his crew, judgment came immediately. The earth opened up and swallowed them. See what I'm saying? Nadab and Abihu, they transgressed and disobeyed God, and there was judgment immediately. You see what I'm saying? So he's saying if that happened to them, they received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him.
Okay, so it's saying if those people died because they neglected God's great plan of salvation, which he had given to Moses and administered through the angels, how shall we escape? If we neglect so great salvation, see that?
Yes.
It was so great salvation because now Christ had come through and fulfilled it. He died. He fulfilled. They actually saw, this was right after the fact that Christ, right after Christ had died. So it was already, the Old Testament was fulfilled. So it's a great, so great salvation. So he's saying if you just through apathy, think it's not important. Oh, it's just another thing we do on Sunday morning, Wednesday, we just come together. Oh, yeah. But we just hear it but not apply it. You know, I know how we do. We kind of glance at it and we just keep going about our daily whatever. He's saying, how shall we escape if we neglect? It says, if we neglect the cross, we have destroyed ourselves, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Okay? So this was talking about the kingdom. He came announcing the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and was confirmed unto us by them who heard him, confirmed by healings, miracles, which were witnessed by the original 12, plus untold numbers of others. So how shall we escape it? That's what he's saying, this so great salvation. So this salvation he's talking about, it says it refers back to what is mentioned in Hebrews 1:14. So it's God's full salvation, from the forgiveness of sin to the sharing of the kingdom, the coming kingdom with glory. It refers not only to what Christ has done and will do for us, but also to himself, the one who is able to save us to the uttermost. So as the Son of God, or as God, and as the Son of Man, as man, he is our salvation. His wonderful person plus his splendid work constitutes so great a salvation that none of us should neglect. So it says our negligence will cause us to miss this great salvation, most precious part, the enjoyment of Christ as our saving as our saving life and rest in this age. So what were they going to neglect? The first thing was having Christ and rest. Saving Christ as our saving life and rest in this age. See, there are many defeated Christians. There are many Christians that's anxious and worried, and when chaos and all these things happen in the world, do we move like Ruth and her family? Trying to find what's best for us by going to Moab, the land of incest, You know, Moab came about through Lot and his daughter's incest. So this is a picture of we have to, if we have peace and rest, it doesn't matter what's happening around us. Yes. Being in Christ is still a life, a saving life and rest in this age. And then the second part of this great salvation is that this is the glorious part, the most glorious, the inheriting of Christ's kingdom with glory in the coming age. They were going to forfeit this. They were neglecting this. So at the judgment seat of Christ, had they went on back to Judaism or whatever, if they were still Christians, then at the judgment seat of Christ, they would have lost reward. They would not have inherited the kingdom with the glory in the coming kingdom age. They would have been saved, but they would have lost rewards. You see what I'm saying? They wouldn't reign with him. They wouldn't rule with him. They could have been at the football game, but at, outside in the parking lot or in the outer darkness. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not in his presence. And presence is the parousia, not in his presence. So they were on the verge of neglecting that. See? And this is why it's very critical that we not just let it drift away. God is speaking every day, and he's trying to get at us, but we have so much in our before our eyes, what we see, what we hear, all the pressures and the things of life that's got our attention. We can't hear. We just neglect. We let it slip. And then when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to play all this stuff that you did or didn't do, and then we're going to be like, oh, my Lord. You know how much shame and weeping there's going to be?
Amen, Jesus.
So this is why it's very important we don't let anything or anybody cause us to neglect. So these Jews, these Christians were listening to the Judaizers, meaning they were in the Jewish religion, the old system, and they were being persecuted by them. What those folks said and did mattered in the eyes of these Hebrew Christians, meaning that they were more concerned about what they said, the people in this religious system, instead of what God had done, Christ had done through his son. God had done through his son, Christ, and what his word said. You see what I'm saying? So let's go, let's keep going. Verse 4, says Jerry.
God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will.
Okay, let's start right. And let's go back to Romans chapter 8, because I want to finish this up from last week. Any questions before we go further?
Sonny, that, okay, like you said, that drift away, meaning we forget the things of God. So how are we're doing that by not listening to his word, not doing what he tells us to do, not trusting him? Is that how we drifting away from his word, not forgetting about the things of God?
Yes, we use the example of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was called, and we see a point in time where God, you know, he took in consideration that Abraham didn't understand and know him. So God was looking for an individual, a called individual, and he answered and he responded. But look at his life. Had he neglected everything that God said to him when God called and he said, okay, and at some point he did, because we can see snippets in the Bible where he didn't immediately move when God said move. But once he got into this great plan of salvation and God made the promises, God was going to bring about this seed. And the seed represent Christ. And it goes right back to the prophecy of what God had mentioned or prophesied in Genesis 3 about the seed of the woman shall bruised the head of the serpent, right? Mm-hmm. This whole warfare was about the seed. This is why Satan comes in quickly, because he was trying to destroy the seed. This is why he corrupted mankind and the government, because he wanted the seed, right? But mm-hmm. God delivered and found Noah. Then he found, after that, Nimrod comes up, and he had a corrupt government. And then he found Abraham eventually. You know, he found others, Enoch and mm-hmm. and Shem and what have you. But then he finally gets Abraham. And had Abraham neglected what God, what he heard and what God said about the promise, then it would have drifted. This is what he's talking about. So when we get saved and we give our lives to Christ, it's not for us to just go to church and sit on a pew. We're drifting away from what his call was. He didn't call Abraham just to say, oh, yeah, you're saved. Your name is written. And I'm so glad you're here, Abraham. That promise in Genesis 3, the seed of the woman, still had to be fulfilled. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he used Abraham, and Abraham had to get out of him, get out of himself, because he and Sarah were in the way of God bringing forth this promise.
Right.
This is us. We're in the way. This is what the purpose of circumcision is. It has to nail ourselves, our desires, out of the way so that the Spirit of God can bring forth this promise of the seed. He's trying to bring forth Christ. Paul said, I travail, he told the Galatians, till Christ be formed in you. I presented you as a chaste virgin. And now you're on the verge of going back to Judaism. That's what he was saying to the Galatians. Now he has to do the same thing in Hebrews, because they were neglecting the whole point and purpose of being called. I'm not called just to be a member of something. Nothing wrong with joining, but I have to make sure I'm joining and a member with the right mindset or folks with the same mindset of the Spirit. But I should never let what other people think of me or what they're doing or not doing hinder my great plan of salvation that God has for me. God will hold me accountable. You see what I'm saying? Because there were points and times where we were ignorantly doing things in church or whatever, but notice how the loving hand of God mm-hmm. guided us to truth and to, and he guided us to a direction or to a point where we had to respond or stand for what we knew was right or not right. If I just say, okay, I just came to this denomination in my upbringing and what I believe, and I'm neglecting, I'm letting what Christ done slip. The whole point and purpose of him calling me is for his will to be accomplished in my. Every Christian has a purpose. Every Christian, and that purpose goes beyond an organization. See, we got to understand that Christ is the door of the church, not the church, not the organization we're part of. That's not the door. And many people are living for their organizations and not for Christ.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So that's how they were letting it drift. So they were looking at this persecution that was coming from within the church, and because they held the loyalty or that was a something in their life that God needed to address, they still preferred certain things in the church. Y'all see what I'm saying? In that religious organization over following Christ.
Amen.
Could have been, you know, we leave one place and we go looking for the same thing that we left, the same type of ministry. Oh, I want this. And God said, I want you to want me. I called you out so I could bring you in to me. And so we go in a corner and we're mad because we're not being used and I'm not using my gifts. And God says, later for that. That's not why I called you. And see, this is why it's so important that we as Christians have to understand that his intentions and his plans are what he called us out of the world for. He's building his church.
Amen.
He wants a bride. And the mm-hmm. bride is taken out of his side. Remember, the woman was taken out of the side, the rib of the man. When Christ died, they pierced him in the side and blood and water came out. That was a picture of we are the bride of Christ. And the bride is right there alongside him.
Amen.
To fulfill his purposes in the earth. Amen.
Amen.
So did that answer, Sherry?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So all too often we forget, we don't understand, we're not given that clear picture of the purpose of being a Christian. We think it's about the physical, the external church, external organization, and it's deeper than that. Okay, so y'all at Romans chapter 8?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to go up to 13.
Okay.
And then we'll go down.
For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
Okay. Now this is very important. Remember, the believer, our point in our position, or our what we must do is make sure faith is anchored in God's redemption plan, Calvary, the cross. That's the only way that I can live according to the Spirit, okay? That's the only way that grace can come in my heart and life. Grace is just simply God's divine enablement, meaning it's the Spirit of God that's given the latitude to work in me. But if I'm living after the flesh, after my own strength, own abilities, this is what we're taught in church. We're taught to, we know that God has a purpose, but we're taught that we have to accomplish his purpose and his intentions through our own efforts. That makes sense?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is what it's saying. If we live after the flesh, after your own strength, your own ability, and you're not going according to God's prescribed order of victory. So you remember Abraham and Sarah tried to bring about Ishmael by going through Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So they used Hagar to bring about their means. Hagar was a type of the law. Whenever there's ignorance of God's grace, law pops up. Because it's man trying to reach or do things for God in his own strength and ability. We can't do the will or accomplish it. But as long as you have a Hagar, as long as you got a Hagar around, guess what? You sure enough going to try. Hagar will side with us, and Hagar will, okay, whatever you need done, uh-huh. So we can be like, well, I'm going to love my husband, and I'm going to do good things, and I'm going to do, when the Bible says women, you know, wives, love your husband, what have you, and we said, but we're trying to do it through our Hagars, our own effort, our own planning, our own scheming, and you may, in your eyes, it may be successful, but it's not love that's coming from God, the Spirit of God. It's you and your own effort, probably through manipulation, trying to love your husband or get something out of your husband through the efforts of the flesh. You see, y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
But God says that love has to be put in me by my Spirit so it can be genuine and of a supernatural source, not a natural source, not a natural ability. So when we come to the end of ourselves and we realize, oh, I produced an Ishmael, and Ishmael is in the way of the promise, Isaac, so God can't do what he need to do. This is why if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You won't have victory because Ishmael is in the way, and Ishmael mocks what's spiritual, whether it's in me or outside of me. That makes sense, y'all?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, if you're trying to live for me according to your own efforts, Abraham, understand this. Abraham and Sarah delayed Isaac, let's put it this way. Overall, they delayed Isaac 25 years. It took 25 years for the promise to come from the time that God said that he would have a son. All the planning, scheme, whatever they did, 25 years. But when he slept with Hagar and brought forth Ishmael, God's presence stopped for 13 years. He didn't hear from God, 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
You see this? If you live after the flesh, the reason why we die is because we don't have the presence of God. We don't have, we can't have a victory. So in that time, he didn't have victory. He had Ishmael, he had Hagar, and they had some division, I'm sure, up in there with Sarah and Hagar.
Amen.
So, but he says, but if you through the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is grace. The only way grace can flow is if your faith is in the right object, the cross. The cross means that it's going to circumcise my heart, which means it's putting self to death, it's denying self. I'm being humble and learning how to rely on the Spirit. So now the Spirit of God, because of faith in the cross, I say, okay, Lord, I created this mess. I created an Ishmael. I know. Cast him out. Now you've gotten out of the way. Guess what? But if you through the Spirit, see this? By the power of the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body. It says, the Holy Spirit alone can do this. You shall live. You're going to walk in victory.
Amen.
You won't let what Christ sees. This is not letting things drift. If you're in the flesh, the things of Christ will drift. The great salvation is going to drift by you. You're not going to experience victory. You're not going to experience overcoming life. So let's keep going. Verse 14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Now, in Hebrews, it talks about bringing sons to glory, meaning that God, once we give our lives to Christ, he now has to grow us up to where we exhibit the expression of Christ in our life, meaning that I'm nailed and out of the way so that now the Word of God can penetrate my heart. Because I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I'm going to live. Yet not I, but Christ, the Spirit of Christ in me at work. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live how? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
You see that? That's the whole point and purpose. So for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit always leads us to the cross. They are the sons of God. Not everybody that say they are, okay, yeah, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Because the Spirit is going to lead you to the cross, which is going to cause you to deny yourself, pick up the benefits of the cross, and follow on a daily basis.
Amen.
He says it here. They are the sons of God. Keep going, please.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
So for those Hebrew Christians, see, they were contemplating going back to bondage. He said, you haven't received the spirit of bondage. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. They were fearful. You see, the children of Israel in Egypt were fearful of Pharaoh. They were so fearful that they were willing, they got mad with Moses and went to Pharaoh, demanding, oh, Pharaoh, you got this burden on us. It's too heavy, instead of crying out to God.
Mm-hmm.
See, so it says, you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit has adopted us into the family of God, whereby we cry what? They should have cried, Abba, Father.
Father.
You see, when all this chaos and this mess going on, Abba, Father.
Right. Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm not crying to the government. Get me out. Listen to this, please. But Abba, Father. Y'all see what I'm saying? We have to cry out to Abba Father, and Abba Father can give us the power to stand in the authority of Jesus Christ and say, Satan, don't you know you're defeated? Don't you know that no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper?
Amen.
See, we stand up because Satan wants us to, oh, God, what are we going to do? Oh, my. No, God wants you to stand up and you call out. To Satan, you do your best. You know, I'm in God's hands. And the more that you inflict or afflict, the more that God will be able to show up. What did Pharaoh do? The more they cried out for freedom, see, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So the more they cried out for freedom, the harder Pharaoh got. Satan's not going to see. The more we want to be free, the harder the world system will become. The harder, see, all this stuff happening, this inflation and this rise and stuff, the coronavirus is happening for a reason. God is pressing or pressuring the church to cry what? Abba, Father.
Amen.
Y'all see, we are adopted. We receive the spirit of adoption. We are a part of the family of God. And God, what did he say? We've not seen the seed forsaken, nor his bread, nor his seed. How y'all know how it goes? I can't think right now. Nor his seed begging bread.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know what I'm talking about in scripture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do we cry Abba, Father. Are we affected by what's going on? Yes. But guess what? We have been received by, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry unto him. And
yes.
So Pharaoh made it hard. And guess what? The harder it got, the more God was glorified because his power was manifested. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God wants to see the whole point and purpose of Israel being called was so that the glory of God could be revealed. So the more difficult a situation is, the more glory God can have in it.
Amen.
So that's why I said these things that Satan is doing now, this oppression, this stuff that he's in, is so that God can be good. If we stand and we trust in the living God and we know that we're sons and daughters of God, we cry, Abba, Father. He hears us. We trust him despite the oppression, despite what we see. And guess what? He is glorified because we will bear fruit. Remember, the tree planted by the rivers of water. Leaves were green even in a drought.
Amen.
Why? Because we trust in the living God. It doesn't have to appear or be or see. We don't have to see the desired results. We believe it. You see what I'm saying? Abraham had, in essence, believed that when he took his son up to that mountain, he believed that his son was good as dead. But he already said in his mind that God has raised him up. You see what I'm saying? He said that, okay, God called me to sacrifice my son, but I already know that he, in his mind, God had already raised him up from the dead.
Amen.
This is where the Spirit of God, he's leading us to the cross. And the cross means that I'm not trusting in my strength, my ability. I'm trusting in the living God, so I get out of the way. I don't know how you're going to do it, God. I don't know how you're going to raise my son up. That's what, in essence, Abraham was saying. But I do believe you're going to give him back to me. And so this is what God desires. God wants. Remember, Abraham begged for it. He wanted a son. God promised a son. But then always remember, God's going to ask for that son back. Why? Because if he offered that son, sacrificed him, he was going to raise him up. God wants to make it better. See, that son would have been better. See, Abraham's walk was better because it was resurrection. He believed in resurrection, that if God would take his son, he would be resurrected again. Y'all see what I'm saying? God wants me to give and exchange my old or whatever he's given me so he can make it better.
Yeah.
See, if he's giving you a job and you go through some turmoil with that job and whatever, God's going to resurrect. He's going to do some changes in our lives where if I offer it up, here, Lord, you gave it to me, have your way. I don't know why we're dealing with this chaos and this job loss and cutback, but, Lord, if you gave it to me, you promised this, you're going to raise it up and make it better.
Amen. That's right.
So God sometimes cut back so that things can produce. Remember, he said, you are clean through my word. So there has to be a cleansing, a purging. When we see these bushes and trees, the dead stuff has to fall off. So when I offer what God has given me, I may be happy to have it, but God wants me to give it back so he can use it and it can be something better in my hands. Y'all understand? When I don't hold that thing so near and dear that I say, God, you can't touch it. You gave me, you promised it. Now you want to take it? No, Lord, you gave it. Here you are. You know what's best. And
Amen.
He will raise it up better. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So them leaving that Jewish church, God was going to make things better. They had to be willing to hand that over and say, Lord, what you got for me is better. Yeah, there was a time where I got saved in that church and I gave my life. But guess what? If the church is still is old and it's not moving, God says, I'm taking you over to the new land. Cross over. Y'all see what I'm saying? Cross over. Be willing to give that church that I gave you where you gave your life, hand it back to me, and I will give you a resurrected church in Christ Jesus. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll give you something better. God put Moses, delivered Moses through the Egyptian woman, y'all remember? As a baby, he delivered Moses from his family because they were going to kill all the boy babies. But what did he eventually have to do? Moses had to get out just to go back for a purpose. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
We have to be willing to give it back to God because we don't understand God's purpose. And sometimes he may take you out of something just to go back to have a resurrected ministry, to be able to teach and preach it the right way, to deliver people that's in that bond. Y'all see where I'm going? If I'm holding near and dear to my, this is my Jewish upbringing and this is our tradition, blase, blase, people seeing you leave it and stand on the truth in the midst of persecution, guess what you did? That's a testimony, and somebody there has seen it, and now they feel the same way you feel. They may not have said it, but they saw you stand on truth, and God deliver you.
Amen.
This is why we must stand, because the Spirit of God, he's delivering us from bondage. He didn't save us from the world to go back into bondage and fear again. How many of us are fearful for our lives about the things that's happening in this world? The Lord said, I didn't take you to a spirit of bondage to fear again. I didn't give you a spirit of bondage. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Take no thought for your life. See? We get too concerned about our lives as we know it, and it hinders us from being used by God. The world is operating in fear with the coronavirus, but if the church over here is shaking, what are we doing? We shaking, hiding from Goliath. We shaking just as hard as the world. No, the Bible says we haven't given you a spirit of bondage to fear again. So if we let God take our lives, crucify us, raise us up to newness of life, the world will see, oh, wow, look at that. In the midst of this turmoil, she's standing, and they're not fearful, and they're not afraid.
Amen.
Y'all see this? But when the church sides with the world, all the world see is the world in the church, and they're not delivered. They remain in bondage. And fear. Verse 16. Any questions?
One minute. The scripture you was talking about. Oh well, I misplaced it. It was in Psalms. Oh, it says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
That's it. Amen. Thank you,
mm-hmm.
man.
I just wanted to.
My mind couldn't think.
Right. Yeah, and that's why I just, that's Psalms 37:25.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Yes. We hadn't seen his seed begging bread. Nor the righteous, they said the righteous forsaken.
Right.
Have
I not seen the righteous forsaken,
nor
his seed begging bread.
Amen. So this tells us if we trust in God and his way and his plans, no matter what it looks like, God will give us the insight. He will give us the wisdom to know what to do in the times that we're living in.
Amen.
Verse where we stopped, 17? Thank you, Sister Cynthia, for that.
16.
Okay. 16, Sister Cherry, please.
The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Okay, so it says the Spirit, that it has itself, but it's himself, bears witness. So every day the Spirit is bearing witness that we are children of God, meaning that we are such, I'm getting some feedback in the line, we are such now and should enjoy all the privileges of such. We can do so if we will understand that all these privileges come to us from God by the means of the cross. Okay, so let's go back to, I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 2 before we run out of time. Well, wait a minute, I think I was supposed to go somewhere here. Wait a minute, I'm sorry, let me see. I think I already got it. Okay, let's go ahead to Hebrews 2. And we stopped at verse
5.
Was it 5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 5.
For unto the angel has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak.
Okay, now in the, I'm going to read it in another translation. It says, for it was not to angels that he subjected the coming inhabitant earth concerning which we speak. So in other words, it's showing again. Y'all hear feedback?
I did, but nobody? You don't know.
Okay. So in other words, it says here, I'm still getting a little bit. It says the earth that will become the Lord's kingdom in the next kingdom, in the next age. So this is what the inhabited earth is. It wasn't given to angels. But who? Keep going, Sister Cherry.
But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?
Keep going.
Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands.
Okay, now stop right there. Let me explain this. This is coming from Psalms 8. And some of y'all may have to mute your lines to help me out, because this feedback is still going. And I know it's in the recording. It says, the first man, Adam, created by God in Genesis 1, failed to accomplish God's purpose for man. You see this? This is in Psalm. It says Psalms 8 then alludes. I'm still getting that feedback. Let's see if I might have to mute some lines just to see if I can get this out, y'all. It says, let's see. Psalm 8 then alludes through prophecy to another man, and it's a man who will replace the first man and would fulfill God's purpose. So this chapter tells us that this other man, the second man, who is Jesus, has come and has accomplished so much for the fulfilling of God's desire in man as revealed in Genesis 1, 26 and 28. So in other words, he says here, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him. It says this refers to looking upon in order to help or benefit. So as we just read there, the first man was Adam. So we needed the second man, Christ, to help benefit us. That makes sense, y'all?
Mm-hmm.
So when he's talking about what is man that thou art mindful of him. So it says, hence, in whatever the first man, Adam, failed, the second man, Christ, succeeded by replacing the first. That's all it's saying. And you can go back and read chapter 8 of Psalms and 22. Okay, I'm not going to go in details, but you can read that, and I'll try to explain this in a minute. So now notice verse 7.
Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands.
Okay. So now when it says he was made a little lower than the angels, it says you made him a little lower than the Godhead. The Hebrew word translated angels is Elohim, which means God, and should have been translated accordingly. You crown him with glory and honor, proclaims that which was never said of angels, and did set him over the works of your hands. Some of that dominion is retained despite the fall. However, as would be obvious, much has been lost, but to be sure, it has all been regained in Christ and will ultimately be realized in Christ. So in other words, remember the superiority of Christ over the angels. These Jews were contemplating going back and worshiping the angels, Moses, and all that stuff, Levitical system. Christ was more superior. Now, he was made a little lower than the angels means that he was he was inferior to angels only because he came down as a man. That makes sense? It's not talking about that they were superior than him, but he was inferior as far as being in the body of flesh. We are inferior to angels when it comes to the body of flesh, but we are superior because they are our servant. They're ministering to us. Not that we can go and command the angel, which I hear some doctrines, people created doctrines saying you can command your angels. No, you can't. We can't do that. God, they are there to watch over our souls. That's in Matthew 8 and 10. Okay, that's their purpose. So they're ministering angels. Whatever God wants them to do, remember in Acts 10 how Cornelius needed to know the truth about whatever, and God allowed Peter to see the sheet from heaven and all this and that, and they could see angels ascending, descending. Somebody had a vision of that. Angels are there to minister and to help us, okay?
Amen.
Verse 8.
Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not, yet all things put under him.
We have to understand what God had given, the dominion that God had given Adam and Eve. They were supposed to, God was going to govern. Because they were already in the image of God, his next step was to govern, express himself through them. Remember I said about the glove? When you have a glove, that's an image of a hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you put your hand in that glove, now you have the reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what God was going to do was put himself in man, operate him, his purposes through man, express himself through man. This is why it was critical for Adam and Eve to make the right decision of trusting and or depending upon God instead of themselves. Because in essence, in depending upon themselves or becoming self-conscious, they allow Satan to put his hand in the glove. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
And now Satan expresses himself through fallen man. Whereas had they turned to God and trusted him, God would have expressed himself in man, and then it would have given man the authority or the allow God the authority to activate his authority in the earth through man, because man would have been in the expressed image of God. That's what Christ was. Remember he said he was the invisible image, the visible image of an invisible God?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we know God. He said, you know me, you know God. This is what God wanted in Adam. So there was authority. He subjected all things under Adam's feet. For in that he, God, put all in subjection to him, under him. Man, he, God, left nothing that is not put under him. See that? This was his original. He's talking about the original Adam. But the original Adam fell. says, but now we see not yet all things put under him. So due to the fall, we do not now see what was originally intended for man. But through Christ, it will ultimately be seen. This is God's intent. And we said this before. Redemption is the means. It wasn't the goal. Hear me when I say this, because I'm not demeaning redemption. We need it. But it wasn't the goal that God had in mind. God had a goal before the fall. God had a goal before man ever chose to eat the wrong tree. Y'all see, eat from the wrong tree. His goal and his intent was to express himself in man and allow his authority. Y'all see this? To govern in the earth. Satan knew this, so Satan wanted to usurp God's authority. He did it in heaven. He tried to in heaven. Tried to usurp the authority, and judgment came. Then he got on the earth. God did his creation, started creating again, and then he came through the woman and deceived her and caused mankind not to fulfill God's purpose again. It was delayed. Y'all see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then eventually he tried to stop the seed of the woman because he knew the prophecy. So he corrupted the bloodline of all of mankind except for the lineage of Noah. See what I mean?
Amen.
He kept going. See, it's all this whole thing in life. We have to understand when we see this big picture of God's intent, redemption was the tool used to bring man back to God's purpose. See what I'm saying? This is what God used. He said, okay, Satan, you came in, you stepped in, you thought you can't outwit me. I'm going to use redemption to bring man back to me, back to my intent. And on that note, we're going to have to stop because I'm over my time. So we stopped at we'll pick up again at verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. We're going to get through this, and we may skip through some, over some things, but what have you. I just want you to see, because we could be on this forever in the book of Hebrews because there's so much to cover, but I want you to get the gist of what this book is about, because if we see the big picture, it makes our walk a lot easier. When you understand what God requires and what was happening in Genesis, what was happening, his whole intent, and by the time we get to Revelation, we see the big seeds were planted in Genesis, and when we get to Revelation, everything comes to fruition. God's will is accomplished. That makes sense? At the end, we'll see all that God desired be accomplished in the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Okay? So those on the line, hold on. We'll take questions and comments. And we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We pray that we said some things that will help you see or bring clarity to your understanding of scriptures so that you'll know how to live effective, overcoming Christian life in this life. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.